today, Amanda Vanstone renews her pledge to clamp down on fictional welfare cheats. They've been getting away with their hypothetical rorts for far too long, Mickey.
Yep.
Also today, Mick Jagger unties the knot. We go for a drive with Graham Campbell, and we've got a very special edition of Parliamentary Question Time. We'll have ourselves another weddings edition of Radio Gladiators. We'll stir that big pot of shite. And welcome back to the fold, our old drinking buddy, Judith Lucy. Yes, it's all coming up on the program. Rose Hancock Porteous likes to listen to in the car. Martin Malloy. This is the rhythm of the late afternoon. That's Corona. And welcome to Martin Malloy Australia. It's the midweek edition with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, Graham Campbell's driving instructor, Mick Malloy.
And everything's going to plan so far.
Good on you now. Mickey, I've had a bit of a shock today.
Oh?
Someone's just told me Amanda Vanstone is a real person.
Can you believe
what? Can you believe it?
Get out.
I mean, like everyone else, I bought that story about the Wright family, but I never for a moment believed Amanda wasn't some fictional creation from the twisted mind of Stephen King. In case people haven't heard about this, Employment Minister Amanda complete and utter Blarney Stone has admitted she misled Parliament. Hey, why not? Everyone else is doing it. Come on in, Mandy. The water's fine. She misled Parliament after her department invented a non-existent millionaire family, supposedly on welfare. Senator Vanstone last month told a Senate committee of the Wright family, who received $20,000 a year in welfare, despite owning cars and property worth more than $1.5 million. Vanstone dubbed the Wrights a typical rorting family and said, I am told there are plenty of others where they came from. She now admits the family were, in fact, a fictional creation. They never actually existed. She also confessed she isn't the daughter of a Ukrainian cab driver. And the video of her riding Peter Reith around the room like a horse is, in fact, a fake.
Okay.
Now, she's blaming her department for supplying her with false information. But my question is, if there's so much welfare rorting going on by real families, why do they have to invent a phony one?
There you go.
For starters. And secondly, Amanda Vanstone just believes everything that lands on her desk, does she? Her secretary coming into her office, Senator Vanstone, where are you?
I'm here under the desk. Haven't you heard about the 3-5 more wide spaceships that have blown up the White House? Forget about me. Save yourself.
I've got a transcript of her last address to the Senate Welfare Committee here, Mickey, in which she tells of a typical Australian family called the Kellys, who have apparently been claiming their zany secretary, Betty, as a dependent despite the enormous number of wacky mix-ups she's responsible for every financial year. She saw a documentary about them on Channel 10 one afternoon.
Did she?
She also told of another family she's heard about, the mother of which was apparently bringing up 3 very lovely girls. The dad, meanwhile, was busy with 3 boys of his own. They were supposedly claiming 2 separate solo parent benefits, even though the group had, according to rumour, one day formed a family. When asked whether she had solid evidence to support this claim, Vanstone replied, no, but it is much more than a hunch. But the Wright family, completely invented. They were apparently arrested this morning in a fictional dawn raid, taken to a non-existent police station and charged with 15 imaginary crimes.
Oh, good.
But you know the real bad news for Amanda in all this?
What's that?
From now on, no one's going to believe her when she announces, guess what? I've just met Mr. Wright. We're supposed to get out before that bit, Gracie. That's Alanis Morissette here at Martin Malloy with You Learn. I've just been watching a bit of Parliament on television. Yeah, and Amanda Vanstone is detailing another family she's heard about, who she describes as creepy and kooky, mysterious and spooky and altogether ooky, and demanding a full investigation.
Okay.
She's also urging the taxation department to investigate the financial dealings of someone called the Tooth Fairy.
Okay.
So, no idea where he's getting the cash from, and he's a leech on the system.
All right.
So, good on you, Mandy.
Take no prisoners, Mandy.
What's going on in show business, Mick?
Okay, time to change gears, Tone. Listen to this. Model Jerry Hall has demanded a divorce from philandering husband Mick Jagger, according to reports in London.
Right.
Hall has consulted top divorce lawyer Anthony Julius, who negotiated the Princess of Wales $34 million settlement.
Right.
And Hall is said to be incensed by Jagger's flagrant flouting of an agreement to keep his affairs discreet. and is set to end their 6-year marriage and 20-year relationship. Right. She decided she can no longer put up with the public humiliation of his liaisons with other women. Mm. This comes after Jagger's affairs with Italian supermodel Carla Bruni, no relation to the Sultan, and more recent reports that he's been going the snog with Uma Thurman, Czech supermodel Jana Rajlik, and English model Nicole Crook, who claims she was bonked by the randy old bastard while he was touring with the Voodoo Lounge.
Bonked, you say?
Yeah, he could well have done it on the Voodoo Lounge. That's one lounge I'm betting folds out to become a bed. It's a voodoo divan. Listen to this, Dave. Cook claims the pair eventually consummated their relationship after watching Mrs. Doubtfire on video. That'd get the juices flowing, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
God knows, Tane, how many times I've waited till everyone's out of the house before reaching for my cleverly concealed copy of Mrs. Doubtfire. And on the odd occasion when that hasn't taken the sting out of my trousers, I team it up with Driving Miss Daisy. No, it's the horniest double feature doing the rounds. I must have seen Mrs. Doubtfire a good 50 times.
Really?
I never once got to the end. I'm kind of a spent force after 5 to 10 minutes, if you know what I mean. Hey? Hey? You with me, sunshine?
Taking the tips from Mick Jagger.
How's that?
Write that one down, kids.
How's that? Jagger's got himself in the mood by watching men dressed up as women. Mm. That's interesting, isn't it? Explains his 20-year relationship with Jerry Hall. No, I've always thought she might be sitting on some crying game-style surprise tone. There's something a little too lazy girls about her for my liking. And I reckon it's one divorce that could get ugly. She'll go for the doctor, I reckon. He'll be lucky to keep both lips. They're his trademark. They're worth a fortune.
Yeah.
If anyone can extract them from the throat of this month's supermodel, he'll lose them for sure. She'll get the lips and he'll be left with the Mr. Burns-like body. I can't believe he's been allowed to get away with it for so long. Yeah. The only difference between Mick Jagger and most other dirty old men of his generation is Mick's not getting about in an in-store Santa suit. Don't be surprised if he turns up in court and pleads senility. He's bloody old, Tone. You know those dinosaur prints stolen from sacred site in Western Australia? Yeah. They're Mick's.
Are they?
Trust me, they'll turn up on the Hollywood Walk of Fame any day now. He's like a Time Lord who chooses to travel on foot rather than by TARDIS. Tony Gregg would lose his car keys if he started poking around in Jagger's face. You know his problem, Tone?
What's that?
He can't keep his hands off girls in nappies. Not unlike the girls who don't seem to mind going to bed with a bloke in nappies.
Radio.
In Too Deep, that'd be Belinda Carlisle at Martin Malloy.
Tonight on the ABC, our parliamentary coverage continues with Question Time in the Senate.
I asked the Minister, is he aware of further allegations of corruption in the conduct of union ballots?
And that's followed by Question Time in the House of Representatives.
What do your guidelines about family interests require the Treasurer to do, if anything?
Which will be immediately followed by Question Time in the Little House of Representatives.
I ask the member for Dunkley, is it better out than in?
Yes it is.
Then I hereby table the following.
Hey, what a cross swords? Order! Order!
And that will be followed by Question Time in the Parliament House cafeteria.
I ask you, Senator Colston, is that not your 23rd potato cake? I'll take that as a yes.
Then we cross to Question Time down at the front bar of the Great Northern.
Hey, if Kim Beazley wanted to eat John Howard, how many bites do you reckon it'd take?
Two?
Two? What are you? He swallow him all. Oh, no, why? Two!
After that, it's off to Question Time with the Minister for Foreign Affairs.
Where?
Behind you! Behind you!
Where?
Behind you! Behind you!
Question Time with the Minister for Education.
If, as you claim, Miss Vanstone, what you are wearing is not in fact a king-size tuna cover, how do you explain these magic pillowcases?
And Question Time with Federal Treasurer Peter Costello.
Hang on, is it arms out then swivel the hips, or hips then swivel?
For all the latest in parliamentary coverage, tune in tonight to the ABC, commencing at the special time of 11 p.m. when we'll cross to Question Time with the former Assistant Treasurer, Senator Jim Short.
Do you want fries with that?
SAFM.
Faithful. You got to have it. That is George Michael here at Martin Malloy. And Mickey, can you tell me this?
Mm.
Are there any members of the Howard government who haven't resigned or are being asked to resign yet?
Mm. All the ones we know by name. They're not going.
There must be someone in there who's... What about that David Kemp? Is he claiming that beard as a dependent?
I hope so.
I don't trust that spooky little hypnotist beard he's wearing.
He puts it in a box beside the bed every night.
Okay. What's happening on this program in the next hour? Judith Lucy is back. Wasn't well last week, and I'm sure she will have fashioned that experience into a segment for today's program.
Yep.
Also, Radio Gladiators is coming up, and we're talking weddings once again. And in the next hour, Pot of Shite.
Oh, yes.
Always brightens up your day.
Lovely.
This Pot of Shite. And you know what, Mickey? You know what people in Bathurst are calling MP Graham Campbell?
No.
Clown of the mountain. He's the clown of the mountain. Campbell has admitted he was at fault in an accident which occurred in Bathurst on Sunday. Gra-Gra drove through a giveaway sign, knocked a bloke off his motorbike, breaking his leg and fracturing his wrist. Campbell says, I didn't see the giveaway sign. Because, as always, my mouth was so wide open, my eyes were pointed up through the sunroof.
You know what he said? His actual excuse in that article is,
what?
The sun was in his eyes.
Oh, yeah.
And you know why he had a crash? Because he didn't want to squint. Makes him look too Asian.
Oh,
no, he just refused.
Oh, he
couldn't
that.
See a thing, but he refused. He goes, not squinting, not squinting. I'll be told to get back to my own country.
Sun was in his eyes. He must have been staring up his own back passage. The victim of the accident is pretty pissed off, Mickey.
Oh, really?
By the sounds, because you know what? I reckon so this guy has been knocked off his bike.
Mm.
He's not happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I reckon he's just being politically correct.
Is he?
I think, what's he doing complaining about that? He's just being politically correct.
Mm.
I mean, do we know? Was he an immigrant, this kiddie?
Mm.
Well, if so, he deserves to be run off the road. He should go back to his own country and thank his lucky stars he got off so lightly. If these foreigners think they can come over here and just ride their motorbikes around the streets willy-nilly, well, they shouldn't be surprised when a decent, white, gun-toting Aussie bloke who doesn't have to give way to anyone rams into their bike. What sort of bike was it?
Does it say here? It was... A Ducati. What's that, Italian?
Well, there you go. Campbell's driving a Holden. What's his party called again? Australia First. Other bloke should have given way.
Veggie thought it was a Japanese bike.
Just being politically correct if you complain about being hit off a motorbike from Graham Campbell.
Correct. He's lucky he wasn't driving a rickshaw.
Oh, yeah.
Bet he would have got it. Both barrels. Look at this, man. The mum says the first thing the guy said after he was hit was, Mum, it was a bloody politician. And she adds, yeah, and that's not his favourite type of person. And I thought, that's not very nice. That's not very nice at all, because he's Graham Campbell's favourite kind of person.
This is Martin Malloy.
I have no complaints. You put on a swell show. Anything you say is okay with me.
Brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment.
Afternoon, everybody. This is Martin Malloy, where it's time for a bit of this.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
I think it's time we talked wedding stories again, Mickey.
Oh, could we?
There's a fabulous article in the paper today where a number of shambolic and debacular weddings are detailed. A celebrant missed a $50,000 wedding because he mixed up the date and played golf instead. Another had the bride in tears thinking she wasn't really married after racing through the ceremony in 60 seconds.
Oh, that would look like one of those Benny Hill chase sequences.
Maybe it was on I Do. I had to get to the ad break. Quickly! Nuptial horror stories are rife, according to the celebrant here. Now, problems include tardiness, boring readings, insensitivity, failure to attend.
That's the groom's job. I've always maintained that. That is the groom's job.
Well, tardiness.
Tardiness. Reluctance.
All that. In an unrelated example, a participant in a recent your posh kind of Melbourne two-rack wedding said the celebrant arrived drunk and stumbled through the ceremony. That's always good. That's always good. So I think this little article is...
They actually used his empties to tie to the back of the car.
Oh, yeah.
See, he was helping.
He was assisting with the wedding. Now, have you been to... I remember when I was a kid, some cousins of mine, what happened was one of my cousins was getting married. This is a pretty tough kind of family. From country New Zealand. This is how tough they were. One of the cousins got a really big promotion at the supermarket where he worked. He was a delivery guy. and he got promoted to like assistant manager, refused to accept it because
I won't get to take the panel van home on weekends. There goes my social life.
That's the kind of family this was. One of the other cousins is getting married, and none of his brothers would be the best man because they didn't want to wear suits because
it might look like poofs.
This is serious. This is my family. So I've been roped in at age about 12 or something to be the best man. Mm. And I've had to do some reciting. And, of course, he's talking like this. Our father, who are now. I've had to do all this religious gear in the sort of, bloke working at the taco shop at The Simpsons. That was good. And I'm thinking, how the, because they're still going to have to, all the other cousins are still going to have to go to the wedding. How are they going to get out of it? Mm. And, of course, they went the obvious one, the T-shirt with a suit printed on the front. That's always good. The instant tuxedo. Mm. So that was a fairly, well, I don't know if it wasn't a disastrous wedding, but that's the kind of thing. Are we looking for parachuting weddings?
We're looking for anything, any madcap tomfoolery or any kind of nasty little incident or something that's gone wrong at your wedding that you might want to relate to the general public.
Perhaps the limo was being driven by Rose Hancock Porteous.
Maybe she was the celebrant.
All right, that's what we want. We want unusual wedding stories, and we want them to be true. Do we have a prize, Gracie?
Yes, indeed. We're sitting on comedy videos. It's that Blackadder Christmas Carol, and, of course, The Close Shave.
Ah, yes, our old favourite.
Wallace and Gromit's The Close Shave. Is it the wrong trousers again? We've run out of The Close Shave. The staff have pilfered them all. That's what I'm guessing.
We've all turned up to a wedding in the wrong trousers.
Haven't we? Or is that just me?
That could be a prize right there for you, and you'll go into the drawer for a trip for you and three friends to, visit the Galliano Sambuca Singles Party at Club Mednumia. Maybe get yourself hitched in the process.
There you go.
Maybe Mick Jagger will be there. He's available now. Give us a call with your wedding story, 1-800-657-657.
Yes, indeed. It's time for Radio Gladiators here
at Martin Molloy. We've just been enjoying Shy Guy by Diana King, and today we're talking wedding stories. There's a few of them in the paper today. That's as good an excuse as any. Mickey, who's getting hitched or who's got hitched? Introduce him if you could.
It's Jules. How are you, bud?
Oh, good, guys. How's it going, Tony, Mick?
Can't complain.
Pleased to hear it. Look, I've got a story for you guys straight out of four weddings and a funeral. We couldn't believe it.
Fire away.
Well, I'm a wedding DJ in Brisbane.
Okay.
And I did this wedding, 12 months ago, and the bride and the groom had used a novice priest to marry them.
Mm,
and it was his first wedding ceremony.
Oh, yes.
And he got them to sign all the forms.
Yep.
But in all the wrong places.
Oh,
so they weren't
no.
legally married. So he kicks them out of the church. Off they go on the reception.
Mm.
And didn't realise that they had problems until after they left the church. So here we all are at the reception. And anyway, we had to stop the wedding, call everything off, kick all the people out, get them into another room, sign all the new forms again in all the right places.
Slap him around a bit.
Oh, I couldn't believe it. And, start the reception again after everything was all done, then have a party, put them back in the limo, send them to the airport, put them in a plane so they could go to America for their honeymoon.
So they thought they'd been married when, in fact, they were registered on the electoral roll and car rego taken care of.
Well, it was a problem.
I see. And has that bloke kicked on in the celebrant caper?
Well, I'm not sure what's happening to him, but I reckon there's about 15 priests in Brisbane after him.
All right. Well, thanks, Jules. I think that's open proceedings very nicely. Let's talk to Mickey. It's Pauline. Is that her real name?
Yes, indeed. Pauline, are you there?
I'm here.
What you got to tell?
Oh, I've got the wedding from hell. It was my wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at the reception, and my ex-husband got so involved with his buddies that he thought he'd continue the night out with them, and I didn't see him for 2 days after that. And, that's not all. His mother was supposed to be watching our little new baby on the night.
Yeah, and she was out getting pissed with him as well.
She was out getting pissed with him as well.
Oh, she was!
Yeah, and so what I did, I had to go home with just me and my baby on my lonesome.
Gee.
And needless to say, the whole marriage went down the toilet.
Oh, no.
You said
your ex-husband.
That's right. And it was like the wedding from hell.
And so he's gone on a honeymoon with his mates. Did he send you a postcard? start? Did he let you know if he was having a good time? Two days he was gone.
Yeah, he was scraped off some bar somewhere, and 2 days later we flew off to Europe, and I hated him for a week.
Wow.
And we made up, and then I need to repeat it again, I suppose.
Pauline, can I ask, is your second name Hanson?
Not quite.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for that. I don't know if we can top that one, but we're going to have a crack at it. Karen, are you there?
Hi.
What happened?
Well, we had two mishaps. We had a week before the wedding, it was my nephew's birthday, and he saw the cake being stored in the spare room at Mum's, and he thought it was his birthday cake, so he went and sat down and started helping himself.
Oh, just getting stuck into it, right?
Got stuck into it. And,
wouldn't there have been like a couple of little, you know, bloke in a tuxedo, woman in a wedding dress on the top, something that might give it away?
No, there was just flowers.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, and he was only 3 years old, so he didn't really understand the.
Oh, yeah, okay, gotcha.
And then on the wedding day, we actually got married on a leap year on the 29th of February.
Yeah.
And the celebrant put 1991 on the certificate, and that wasn't actually a leap year. There was no such day as the 29th of February.
So you must have Jules the celebrant. He's struck again.
Yeah, could be.
And so are you legally married at all?
I believe we still are, because he actually redid the certificate for us later with the right date.
Right, and so it was on a leap year on the February, the whatever that is?
February 29th, 92.
So you only have a wedding anniversary every 4 years, is that right?
Well, my husband reckons that's how he can get in trouble 4 times as least.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I suppose that's a bit of a disaster.
That, on any terms.
A minor disaster. Do we have Mark there?
Yep.
What happened to you?
Well, it was when my mum got remarried. My younger brother was the page boy. He was only about 5 or 6 at the time.
Right.
And had the little cushion thing with the rings tied on it. And we, well, they got married in the front yard of a house.
Yeah.
And he got buggerizing around with the rings and lost them in the grass.
Oh, nice.
So everyone was up and we did emu bob in the front yard for the rings.
And how long did it go on for?
Oh, about 10 minutes, I'd say. But luckily we found both of them and everything was all right in the finish.
And did he get a boot in his buggerizing pants after that?
Oh, well, Mum and Dad weren't real happy.
What else did you turn up in the garden?
Oh, a few papers, folks. Yes.
Oh, we've got a human head. Yes, that'll go nicely. All right, well, thanks, Mark. And now we'll talk to Christina. Christina, what happened at your wedding?
Hi, I got married in a hot air balloon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you tie cans to the bottom of it?
No, I don't think it would have gotten off the ground. There were so many people in the balloon. There were 7 of us. Yeah, 7 of us plus the pilot plus the celebrant.
And are there any pitfalls to getting married in a hot air balloon?
Just a one, actually. Sort of in the middle of what you're going through your vows, you promise to love and obey and all the rest of it, the pilot says, hang on a minute, and turns on the burners full bore so that you don't sort of start sinking down to the ground.
I would have thought your vows would have been providing enough hot air. All that love gear.
Almost.
And so how long did that take? You know, how long are you in the air for?
About an hour. The ceremony itself only took about 15 minutes, and all the guests were actually following along in cars.
Oh, were they?
And did you take advantage of the situation and join up for the Mile High Club there?
Well, no, not while my mum was there.
Yes, understood.
It was a bit rude when you have to stop while they keep putting the burner on.
Yeah.
All right, Christina, that's a beauty. But what's Brenda sitting on? Brenda?
Hello.
What have you got for us?
Well, it's my mother and father's wedding. Yeah. And my mother is Salvation Army and my father's Catholic.
Oh, dear.
And they got married in the Salvation Army church. And Dad's side of the family, the Catholics, didn't want to go. They went and they stayed outside. And my father's mother, my grandmother, was crying outside the place. And they had to get married again the next week in the Catholic church to keep them all happy.
Oh, there's nothing like a bit of religious dissension to really make that day special, is there? Was somebody, coming out every 5 minutes telling them how it was going inside?
They were too scared to.
And which was the better of the two, did you feel? The Salvos or the Catholics?
Probably the Salvos.
Oh, really? They got points ahead, did they?
Probably. More ribbons on the tambourine.
Now we're talking turkey.
Very nice. Well, two rival weddings. Okay, thanks, Brenda. And finally, we've got Lynn. Lynn, what happened at your wedding?
Hi, I got married in 1977, mm-hmm. and we'd chosen our wedding date, and we asked the best man about it, this guy called Barney, and he said, oh, no, I can't be your best man because that's the grand final day, and Collingwood might make it to the grand final.
Yeah.
So to appease him and please everybody else, we changed it to a week later, and that was the year that Collingwood, or there was a draw in the grand final, and it was replayed on our wedding day, and we had a really formal church wedding, and I walked down the aisle of the church, and I could hear someone going, psst, and I was thinking, heck, you know, is my dress caught up in my knickers or something? What the heck's going on? I'm looking all around. And this guy couldn't get my attention. And when he finally did, he yelled out at the top of his voice, what's the bloody score?
Oh,
and because the whole place just broke up. And I thought I was just going to die of embarrassment.
And how was the ceremony?
A bit stressful after that performance.
Did he have the little earpiece on? Was there a bit of, you know, do you take this woman? Yes, we go!
No, but when we got outside afterwards, we were ready to have the photographs taken and he'd disappeared and the photographer was getting really stroppy about it. We finally found him. He was sitting in the bridal car listening to the radio.
Oh,
and so by the time we got him all organised, the photographer was really cheesed off and went off to do another wedding. So we didn't get our wedding photos taken. So the whole thing was a disaster thanks to this guy being a football nut.
And did you have some good halftime entertainment at your wedding?
We did.
Good on you. Well, that's pretty good. I don't know which is our winner though, Mickey. I mean, it's quite a selection. You've got a hot air balloon.
Mm.
You've got the rival. You've got the marriage that happened twice.
Yeah, well,
is that our winner?
That could be our winner, I reckon, on this occasion.
Okay. It's Brenda having to get married twice so that nobody gets their nose out of joint. Brenda.
Hello.
You've got yourself those two comedy videos.
Fabulous.
To go with your wedding video, your two wedding videos, and, of course, you and three friends could be off to Galliano Sambuca singles parties.
Thank you.
At Club Med Noumea. I think members of the Catholic Church and Salvation Army can both enjoy a Galliano Sambuca singles party, so you should be out of the trouble there. Thanks for taking part, everybody who got hitched up today, and we'll be back in the next hour with someone who's always full of stories, Judith Lucy.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment.
And in this hour of Martin Malloy, Pot of Shite continues. We'll have the smash and grab for cash. And next up, it's Judith Lucy. All thanks to Coca-Cola. I believe it's the ultimate summer refreshment. Oh, that's Deborah Cox right here at Martin Malloy. It's the second hour. And Mick, let's welcome someone now.
Mm-hmm.
Who can drink Rose Hancock Porteous under the table. It's Judith Lucy. Judith, have you got five different substances coursing through your system?
I wouldn't have it any other way. And I've got a lot of phlegm coursing through my system as well, so it's a potent cocktail, I can tell you.
Anything could happen. I just speaking of Rose Hancock Porteous, I had this nightmare last night where I was carpooling with Rose, Graham Campbell, Nicholas Eady, Sam Newman, and Dougie the Pizza Boy.
Look out.
There's the cast for your next Celebrity Grand Prix. We'll get Jeremy Irons and Kelsey Grammer over, and let's see some real demolition action.
It's the Wacky Races.
What about you, Jude? I know you haven't been well, and you're still forging on with your show An Impossible Dream in Melbourne. How's that been going?
Oh, look, I've had some interesting evenings. I had an evening the other night, because there's a bit in the show where I talk about my mother and sanitary napkins, and I don't think I need to go any further with that. But I was in the middle of chatting about that, and somebody has thrown up on stage a packet of maternity pads.
Have they really?
And, you know, it's one of those things that I thought all my life I've wanted someone to throw something on stage, you know, flowers, phone numbers, underwear, but, you know, a feminine hygiene product. I thought, what a dream come true. You know.
Say it with maternity pads.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and so useful too. Gosh, I'll be getting my use out of those. And
yeah, everyone's going to be doing it now, you realise.
Oh, well, you know, make it tampons. If you are going to chuck things on stage, at least I can use them.
Anything else you want for around the house? Coffee mugs?
Toilet paper's always a problem. Feel free.
Furniture?
That would be excellent,
actually.
You should
just be scooting around the stage with an empty shopping trolley. People try and get it in.
I think that would be a good idea. Cut some corners. But I've also had a lovely man in the other night who was part of the show, play a bit of a game with the audience, and one of the questions you can get asked is, what really turns you on?
Yes. Mm.
And, you know, generally people say things like, oh, champagne, firemen, and chocolates. This guy said pig shooting. And I thought, now, maybe there's a little something that I do could get on. It's a bit of a honeymoon kind of option for people. I mean, what a lovely romantic trip away. Come on, honey, let's get the guns and shoot some pigs.
And who exactly says fireman?
Generally women.
Oh, okay.
Someone did say the Sydney Swans, which was a... I've been getting some... I had a guy the other night who I said, "What, you know, what would you do if you had a magic wand?" And he said, "I'd stop the clock and undress all the women in the audience." Which admittedly was the most inventive response I'd had, but I did think, golly, I wish I was your girlfriend.
Well, there's a festival show. See if you can get that happening. And what have you got there, Judith?
Well, you know I like going through my magazines and my papers. Mm. And, of course, I'm going to be drawn to an article that the heading is Revealing the Truth About Boys Talk.
Oh, what was this?
Because, you know, you're mysteries. You're just big mysteries to me. So I get as much information as I can.
Is this the article in the that was in the Melbourne Age, I believe, about a week ago?
That's the one.
And they always love to ask typical members of the public. And they've got, what is it, an advertising executive, a film producer.
An artist.
Always people from the media.
And then a bricklayer.
Yeah, of course, a token bricklayer.
But honestly, by the time you've read the whole thing, you're just thinking to yourself, which one of these guys am I going to marry? Because secretly, you want to marry all of them. One of the questions they get asked is, what's out of bounds for women hoping to score with you guys? And the first one says, the wrong clothes for their body shape. So obviously, girls, if you're a bit chunky and you're heading down to the disco, don't pop your wetsuit on. Jeff says moustaches. Oh, yeah. I thought, look, fair enough. I'm willing to get rid of that, but I'm not shaving my beard off for anybody. But then Ben says, and I got a bit worried because Ben says hairy armpits. Oh, you see, and I've got the hairy armpits. Yeah. But then he actually concedes that if you're French or German, you might be able to get away with them. So you can just call me Gigi from here on in.
What else you got for us, Fraulein Lucy?
Gigi should go the hair under your arms really long and try and win one of those competitions. Did you see the guy the other day who had the longest moustache in the world? It was like about 20 feet. Yeah. He had a train. That's something to shoot for.
I never see the big picture. Yeah. I could go for dreadlocks, mate. Something, make them a real conversation piece. But you see, I was disappointed with Ben because Ben's really the one I'm after because Ben's a bit of a genius because they say, so is the sensitive new age guy a myth, and Ben says, there's a place for snags. If there wasn't, then there wouldn't be any, would there? And you can't argue with that kind of logic, I don't think. I mean, obviously, there was a place for Nazis. Because if there hadn't been, well, there wouldn't have been any.
Gotcha.
Ben is the bricklayer, and you can't help wondering if Ben has been involved in a bit of a workplace accident at some point. But Michael goes on to say that snags exist, but they don't get ahead. He says, put a guy who's nice to women next to a guy with broken teeth and a bikey jacket, and they'll go for the bikey jacket every time. Mm. True again? Mm. I am looking for a man who just maybe hits me around occasionally, and has obviously told his dentist to just piss off. But here is really, this is my favourite line. Cool. They say to them, how do you go about chatting up women?
Oh, yeah.
And Andy says, I met this girl who was quite cute but came off as a bit dumb. So I said outright, you're quite nice, but you're a bit stupid. It worked wonders for me. You see, these men know how to read women.
I'm writing that down.
I'm telling you, the last guy I went to bed with, he just walked up to me and said, look, you're okay. You're a bit fat. You're not that attractive. You're as thick as two short planks, but how about it? And I'm telling you, I had my panties off faster than you could say, well, my name's Judith, but just call me stupid old cow.
Well, do you want to stick around for another break with us, you stupid old cow?
When you talk to me like that, of course I do.
Works every time. That'll be next on Martin Malloy. As it so often is here at Martin Malloy with two hearts, Judith Lucy is on the program today and she watches a bit of telly. What have you seen? Give us a bit of a TV review if you've got one, Judith.
Look, I had a little bit of a look at Medivac.
Oh, Medivac.
Which is actually why I wasn't in last week, because I was quite literally watching the tape back when I started vomiting violently. I'm not saying there's any connection, but had a bit of a look at Medivac and, two thumbs up.
Really?
And you know what it is that does it for me with Medivac?
What's that?
Realism. That's the thing, because, I mean, right from the word go, you know when you're watching an Australian drama that has characters in it called Oopy, Red, Bree, Arch and Gossier, you think, I know these people. I've grown up with them. Who doesn't know an Oopy? We all do. And the last week, the episode centered around Arch, who is, of course, the Maverick Doctor.
Right.
He's the one with the shaved head, the earring, the tattoo, rides a Harley, of course, isn't fussed with lab coats, just gets around in a blue singlet.
Has
and
a problem with
pants.
Authority.
Yeah. Mick, have you seen it?
No,
have
I haven't.
Watching?
I haven't seen it either.
No danger of that.
Edgy, playing it by his own rules.
You better believe it.
But a spiritual side, I'm guessing.
Oh, Heart of Gold.
What sort of music? Do they ever mention, you know, you see him listening to Hendrix on some headphones?
Apparently he is in a punk band.
Oh, okay.
I haven't said, but, you know, it reminds me a lot of my GP from Perth, who was actually a coffin cheater. And quite often, you know, when he wasn't working, he'd unwind by just biting the heads off live chickens. So a lot of realism there. And in fact, for the first few minutes, I thought, golly, am I watching Medivac? Or I tuned into Romper Stomper. He looks a little bit ridiculous around the corridors.
Okay. Yeah.
But not so Paul Mercurio's character. And aren't we all glad he's acting and not dancing?
I'm an actor, not a dancer, damn it.
We've gone from the coffin cheaters right down to the other extreme, haven't we?
We have.
With our special friend, Paul.
What's he doing? Paul's a lovely plumber. Mm. And he's actually married to the head of nursing.
I'm a plumber. Don't touch my pipes. Whatever you do, don't touch my pipes.
Well, I hear a lot about Paul's pipes, actually. Well, I'm disappointed that I missed the episode where apparently he's popped into the hospital to deliver his wife a casserole. And, of course, they end up making love in a cubicle. Because you've got to be with me here when I say hospitals doesn't get much more erotic than that.
Mm.
I know when my dad was in with a heart attack, honestly, I was just begging every second orderly for a route. I'd say, look, put that kidney bowl down and let's have sex in a bed where someone's just died. But Paul's a plumber, and as I'm sure happens a lot in real life, he's not backward in coming forward and telling the doctors what he thinks, you know.
Yep.
And he's giving one of the new doctors a bit of a lecture, and he says, look, mate, I know this hospital inside out. And you know how he knows the hospital inside out? Because then he goes on to say, I know every sink, I know every drain, I know every tap. And I thought, crikey, that's why my last relationship didn't work. I thought I knew the guy, but damn it, I didn't know anything about his plumbing. That's the way you get to know people.
And I have to say, who's the woman in there? Because I've only seen, like, the first 10 minutes of the first episode.
She didn't really feature much last week.
There's been a lot of talk about her getting into the helicopter and saying this is better than sex as she's flown away. But even better still was when she lowered herself down from the helicopter going, so much for working as a receptionist for the GP.
Is she Brie? Is she the one that's a piece of cheese?
Yeah, possibly. Quite possibly.
Can I also say that the production value is incredible? Because, of course, they do that magnificent thing where before they go to an ad, everything goes into slow motion and turns black and white, so you feel a bit like you're in an Ultravox video clip. And the other great thing they've got happening is that none of the extras speak.
Oh, yeah.
So you'll just have, like, guys hobbling around, like, with their arms jammed in plastic pipes. And the nurses will go up and speak to them, but they don't speak back. They just shuffle off because they'd actually have to be paid more.
Yeah, that's right.
So a friend of mine actually calls all the extras the mutes, which I think is pretty appropriate.
But it's a case mix system for actors.
You know, if they play their cards right, one day they might graduate to a speaking role.
Correct. Is there a lot of confrontation? Because I know it's from the makers of Fire.
Mm.
And what I loved about Fire is people were just constantly facing, squaring off at each other and shouting.
I
run this department. This is my department. I've given this department my life. Damn it.
Don't touch me pipes.
I think you're forgetting that, you know, not only do we have ex-cast members of Pacific Drive in this TV show, we have got Alvin Purple. And there are some moments with he and Dr. Baldy that I tell you were pretty gripping stuff. But something that did bother me a bit is they only seem to know one medical procedure, which is the one where they put the electric current through somebody's heart. I'm telling you, if there is one word that every actor in that show can say, it's clear. But I'm kind of convinced that they do that no matter what the person's problem is, because they did about 3 times in the one show. Dr. Baldy has just done it on this woman. She's died, probably because there was nothing wrong with her heart and she needed to have her appendix removed, but, you know, that was all they could do. But, of course, her granddaughter has witnessed the whole thing because, of course, she's just been left wandering aimlessly around the hospital and has just popped into the operating theatre, as you do. And Dr. Baldy's just gone straight up to her and he's just gone, do you know where heaven is? That's where good people go. And you want him to say, you know, you're thinking, no, tell her the truth. Say, do you know where heaven is? Because that's where all my patients go. Because I haven't got a clue.
Clear.
And what's in store? Is there a nun involved, Jenny?
There is a nun. I think you know that this is a bit of a sore point with me. Because I was, in fact, not that I'm saying it's the same show, but I was asked to audition for a show that was set in a hospital in Brisbane, but it can't be the same show because that was called something much classier, Adrenaline Junkies. But funnily enough, there was a doctor in that who was a nun, and I couldn't help noticing in the ad for tonight's episode, a guy says to her, look, you can't be a nun and a doctor. doctor. And I couldn't help thinking to myself, well, actually, you probably can. But the end of that sentence is probably, look, you can't be a nun and a doctor in medivac, because then we can't have any cubicle sex scenes with you.
Of course.
So I am kicking myself.
Well, I saw a cubicle sex scene in medivac, and one of them was going, clear!
You know, it's going well. Now, Jude, I don't know why this has popped into my head, but next up we've got something called Pot of Shite. How would you like to stick around and judge?
Try and get rid of me.
That'll be next on Martin Malloy.
I feel good!
Oh, come on, enunciate, Jewel. Who will save your soul? That's what she's on about in that one. This is Martin Malloy. And let's just check the clock. Yes, let's have some showbiz.
It's time for Radio's Premier Talent Quest. Pot of Shite. Could you be the next Bindi Paxton? The next Ian Buckland? The next Maria Venuti? Yahoo Serious? Or Animal? That drummer who used to be on Hey Hey? Even if you're merely the current animal, give us a call and let us lead you to the Pot of Shite at the end of the rainbow.
Now sit right back and hear a tale of a faithful trip that started in the tropics aboard this tiny ship.
Just quickly, let's have a go at the other.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
All right.
Just checking.
Every winner on Pot of Shite takes home a 3-pack of CDs thanks to Warner Music and goes into the draw to win a Ford Festiva Trio valued at more than $17,000. Ford Festiva, the escape hatch. Fun to drive and easy on the wallet. All thanks to the Ford Australian Open. Okay, lads, stir that pot.
Be glad to. Pete, Judith, Lucy stuck around for Pot of Shite today. What happened to that guy animal? Remember he was the drummer in the Hey Hey band?
Just went walkabout. Never been seen since.
Except for an appearance in Houseboat Horror.
Oh, don't bring it up. You know that gives me the willies, that film. I won't get to sleep tonight. Thank you very much.
A straight-to-video release, which I think we created a lot of interest in. We showcased it on The Late Show a few years ago. And do you think there's been a Houseboat Horror curse? Think about everyone who was in it. Animal, never seen again. Alan Dale, what's happened to him?
He's gone by the wayside.
Gavin Wood.
Oh, he was the most creepiest presence in the entire thing.
He was the Houseboat Horror. And, of course,
Someone told me he was a bit of a stud.
Oh,
in the
geez.
Movie, is that true?
What are you buying the movie?
Yeah.
I don't know. Can you be a stud wearing all car. Acid wash? I don't know. And I think Brian Mannix, of course, did the music. Mm. It's the Houseboat Horror Curse.
Look out.
It's our own poltergeist. Now, Judith, I think we ask you this from time to time. Have you had much talent judging experience?
Well, of course, there's just the just really in the boyfriend department, because
I
like to get them all to. It's quite a stringent process I put them through, and unless they can either juggle, sword swallow, or you know, can hold a bit of a tune, I'm just not interested.
Boy, have you come to the right place? This is like a dating service. This segment.
I don't think the
That's
aim.
That's why
of,
I've hung around.
The aim of Pot of Shite isn't to get a new boyfriend for Judith Lucy.
It could be.
Well that's what you
attach
told
your name
me.
To the prize list, T. Martin, right now.
That's what you told me off air.
Well, it you may... change your tune, don't you?
It could result in that, but I think you still have to have a talent, don't you?
No. You've got to profess to have a talent. All and right. then once we find out you are lying through your teeth, you're in the running for a prize.
That's usually how it works, so why not give us a call? If you're talentless or talented, we just don't care. 1-800-657-657.
Martin Malloy.
My little friend, I am very proud of you. You are most resourceful.
Brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer of...
Thanks very much, the Martin Malloy Show Band. It's time for Pot of Shite. It's a showcase, a unique showcase for up-and-coming talent. There really isn't, apart from red faces, you know, you haven't got Pot of Gold anymore.
No.
Is this the only place talent can come
to? It's the only forum. It's the only place you get. It's the only launching pad.
All right.
Currently available. Yeah. All the others are gone by the wayside. The only one that survived.
Guys, you know, you put back into the industry. You don't just take.
Oh, no. That's
Did my
right.
microphone just come on? Satellite trouble. All right. Let's get things underway. Let's see if we can do some giving. Who have we got first, Mick?
I believe it's Warwick. How are you, Warwick?
G'day, how are you?
Not too bad at all. What are you going to do for us today on Pot of Shot?
I'm going to do that backwards-talking dwarf from Twin Peaks doing Travis Bickle from Taxi Driver.
Oh, it's about time. I've been hanging out for someone to do that.
Okay.
All right, Warwick, give it a burl.
Okay. Snashnip, you talking to me? Snashnip, who the hell else are you talking to? Snashnip, brush dirt. Yeah, make your moves.
I think it gets a bit blue after that. You know, Warwick, after the show, we're going to get the tape and we're going to play it backwards and see what you were really saying there. All right.
That'll
well,
be good.
Okay. I like that a lot. I think that's as good as anything I've heard.
I thought it had a bit of a Czechoslovakian feel to it.
I think Warwick should get his own phone sex line. That's what I reckon. Like, there's hours of fun there.
I like a bit of backwards talking.
Call this number. Have we got the exotically monikered Natasha? Are you there, Natasha?
Yeah.
What are you doing for us?
The Copacabana and fast forward.
Okay, the Copacabana sped up.
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear that.
Okay.
Anytime you like, Gracie. Now, can you do it backwards? I'd like to hear Warwick have a crack at that one.
Yes.
I can't help thinking that could have been just about anything.
I just wish we had Bernard King in today.
Someone would be on the end of a tongue lashing.
How much rehearsal did you do?
Have we got Ken? Ken, are you with us? Ken?
Hey, yo.
What are you doing, Ken?
I'm going to sing a song. If you give me three topics, I'll get my guitar and rip out a tune for you.
Oh, it's a bit of improvisation. So I hope you know what you're doing. We can just throw three topics at you. You'll fashion them into a tune.
That's it.
All right. What about something from the? What about Pauline Hanson?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A packet of ciggies.
Yeah.
And who else do we talk about? What about Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance? See if we can get him into a song.
Right.
All right.
Here we go.
Take it away, Maestro Ken.
That girl called Hanson, named Pauline. On immigration, she's real clean. And let's give Judith Lucy a chance with Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance. You know that they're all real good blokes. And after sex, you need a bag of the smoke.
Gee, that's almost too good for Pot of Shot.
That man, he needs a recording contract.
Is that our winner, Judith? It's up to you.
Oh, look, if it means I get to have sex with that water dance guy, absolutely.
All right. No, I think it means you get to have sex with Ken.
I think if you consult the sheets there.
Ken, you've got yourself a three-pack of CDs.
Yeah, beauty.
And you've gone into the drawer for a car.
That's great.
It's a 17 grand car. Tell you what, we'll give you the three-pack of CDs titles. See what you can...
No, we won't do that.
Yeah.
And all thanks to the Ford Australian Open. Thanks for taking part in our pot today. Thanks to everyone who took part. And Judith, thank you for adding a touch of magic to proceedings.
My pleasure. Au revoir.
We'll see you next week. I'm Mark Malloy. The best things in life are free. That's Jay Jackson and L. Vandross here at Martin Malloy.
Martin Malloy, the program that brought you Dash for Cash, Flash for Cash, do something rash for cash, go through the trash for cash, take a slash for cash, watch all the serious episodes of MASH for cash, steal Mr. Nude Australia's sash for cash, pash the bass player from Ash for cash. Find Michael and Paula's stash for cash. And shave off Baby John's tash for cash. Now bring you the ultimate competition with the word cash in the title. The smash and grab for cash. Here's how it works. We've cased a major city financial institution, worked out its weak spots, and assembled a crack team of ruthless and deadly thugs with a history of criminal violence. All you have to do is wait by your phone till someone called Dutch gives you a bell. Then the fun begins. You'll be chauffeur-driven to the bank, supplied with a balaclava, and pushed through the front doors, where you'll have just 60 seconds to overpower the staff and retrieve as much cold hard cash as you can lay your hands on. Oh, and just to add a degree of difficulty, you'll also have several live fruit bats placed in your pants, and throughout the raid, you'll be giving Senator Mal Colston a piggyback.
You just put all the cash in this bag, will you? I'm in a... Mal, can you sit still for a second? Oh.
Then, once you've completed the smash and grab for cash, you'll receive a cut of the spoils, a new identity, false passport, and a one-way ticket to Argentina, all courtesy of your good friends at Martin Malloy, makers of the Alanis Morissette car alarm.
You got it. Here we go. You got it.
Oh, jeez. Quick, make a bolt for it, quick.
Farnham here at Martin Malloy. Were we meant to play that track, Gracie? The CD player's just gone. Nah.
Don't like that one.
Sick of this one.
Yeah, talking about our show, weren't you, Gracie? You're getting all whimsical and nostalgic. You always get a tear about this time when we're about to pack up shop for another evening, don't you?
Well, I'm just going...
Here's a hanky.
Check out the papers, Mickey.
What's going on?
As predicted on this program yesterday, there's nary a newspaper in the land that ain't running with the headline, Madonna and Child.
You tipped it, buddy.
I've got...
Yesterday on this program, you said they'll go for it.
Herald Sun in Melbourne?
Yep, check.
Madonna and Child. Telegraph in Sydney? Madonna and Child?
Check.
It's a girl. The Advertiser in Adelaide? They're running with... It's a new version of Madonna and Child.
There you go.
And, of course, all the others, if they weren't running with that, it was the material girl goes maternal. I mean, they're still running with Material Girl.
No, I got another few years out of that.
15 years later, and then, of course, Maternal. Okay.
We'll have to change it to Material Mum. That'll be there next.
What else have we got in the paper? Here's a disturbing story, Mick. Big Mac ban for police. Have you heard about this? This is in Sydney. Police have been banned from working for a children's charity for which they helped raise $780,000 last year because, well, uniformed officers will not be manning McDonald's counters for McHappy Day on this Saturday, I'm assuming, because it would be seen as an endorsement of McDonald's. Yeah. You know, around where I live, there are very few policemen who aren't an endorsement for McDonald's.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever seen a policeman in McDonald's serving? I don't know if I'd go for that. Seeing them just sitting there all day handing over mysterious, unmarked packages.
Well, I think they are. It might be time for us to go. My police station's got a drive-through window now. You have to drop off, you know. Not picking up, you're dropping off.
It's the same guy who does the radio police channel. Yeah, can I take your order, please? Hold on. There's a 211 down on the corner of Sutton.
Mickey, I'm disappointed we didn't have time to get to Baby John Burgess's new TV show today.
Didn't we?
Catchphrase. It's his new game show on Channel 9. They're running pilots for it. Catchphrase. All effort.
Who knows?
Catchphrase.
It'll be much the same as the other show, except without Adrian or Xanadu's, without the moustache, pretty much the same format.
It'll be celebrities coming up and you've got to say what their catchphrase is.
Mm.
So you'll see, you know, Mark Mitchell. It'll be couple of days. It'll be Bruno Lucia. Chicky Bane. It'll be a member of the Howard Cabinet. The shares weren't mine. I know nothing. Let's get out of here.
Hey, there's someone else on telly tonight, a show called Breasts. Do you know what that's about?
No.
I hope it's not too similar to my Norgs. That was very successful, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Amazing how I got that out to be six parts.
Yeah.
I noticed on this one tonight, they say Kim Beazley is appearing. Work that one out for yourself, Maple.
Let's thank...
Keep the top on, Kimbo!
Let's thank our guests, shall we? It was Judith Lucy today, and of course, all our Radio Gladiators and Podsters. We'll be back tomorrow with... We don't know who yet. Oh, no, sorry. With a very special guest indeed. That'll be tomorrow. Mm. Until then, remember, if you can't say something intelligent, for God's sake, come and have a word to us.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with half-baked ideas and ill-conceived concepts, Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment. Pete Smith speaking.